for me. I lowered the taker of hearts and let it slice through his leg, sending him stumbling, howling to the ground. I didn't let him fall fully, hoisted him up, even though distantly I recognized my muscles burned, pressed him to the wall. The last one here, the last one between me and Rain. But I wasn't fucking done. I was hungry. I was angry. Simon, I snarled. Septimus, where are they? The man spat at me and tried to swing at me. He hit something. I wasn't sure what. Fine, if he didn't want to talk, he didn't want to talk. Like he'd be important enough to know that information anyway. I skewered him and tossed him from the balcony. I whirled around, ready for the next attacker. But instead of battle cries, or gasps of pain, or clattering steel, I heard only my own pounding heartbeat. And...
Hell of an entrance, princess.
The voice was hollow and hoarse. I blinked the red from my eyes. The haze of my blood rage fell away. A sudden cold enveloping me at the sight. Rain. Rain, strung up with silver chains against the wall of the castle. His wings were out and nailed through, blood clumping in the elegant feathers. Blood spattered his face and smeared his once fine clothing. His hair was free around his face, clinging to his skin. He'd fought like hell. One look at him told me that. Drugged or no. I crashed back to the earth with staggering force. Suddenly, looking at Rain like this, I did not feel powerful, despite the trail of bodies I'd left in my wake, or the sword in my hand, or the nightfire at my fingertips. I did not feel powerful at all. He gave me a weak, lopsided smile.
I can't possibly look that bad.
I sheathed the blade at my side and strode across the balcony. Up close, he looked even worse. Some of the chains were screwed right through his skin. I swore under my breath. They were going to let him burn. Let the dawn kill him slowly, right in front of all of Sivrinage. The most humiliating way for a vampire to die. In Simon's mind, he wasn't even worthy of a real execution. Executions were for threats.
Kyrus,
Rain rasped.
It was Kyrus. The traitor. Can you fucking believe that?
Then he laughed, like something about this was hysterically funny. Don't do that, I snapped. I heard voices in the distance, many of them. Shit. My attack wasn't exactly subtle. They'd be coming for me. Coming for Rain. He heard it too. His head tilted towards the noise, then back to me. This is going to hurt, I muttered. I didn't have time to be gentle. I yanked the first chain free from his wrist, a fresh spurt of blood dribbling down his arm.
You can leave me, he said. I'll be all right.
I laughed. It was an ugly sound. Like hell you will.
You're hurt, Aurea. There will be a lot of them.
No joking anymore. No cocky remarks. Rain was right. I was injured. Probably badly. Now that the adrenaline faded, everything hurt. I tried not to think about it, but I was getting dizzy. A lump rose in my throat. I already came this far, I muttered, moving faster as I grabbed another chain and pulled it. One wing slumped down, pain spasming across his face at the extra weight yanking on his other side. The voices were getting louder. Fuck. I pulled away the second chain on his arm, freeing it. Here, you've got an arm now. Help me, I spat, moving to the other wing. He did, wincing as he tugged against his right side. The voices were on this floor now, or closer. Hurry, I said.
Aurea,
don't you dare tell me to leave, I spat. We don't have time for that. Only his ankles left now. Both wings were free, and both arms. I dropped to my knees to get one ankle while he reached for the other. Goddess, we had seconds, less.
Aurea.
I didn't look up. What?
clang as metal fell to the ground. Why did you come for me? I paused for a split second we didn't have. I didn't even ask myself that question. I didn't want to look too hard at the answer. A confusing knot in my chest. We don't have time for this. I yanked his final restraint free with one last clatter. I stood, and Rain tried to take a step forward, only to slump against me. I nearly caved beneath his weight. Over his shoulder, I watched a flood of Rishon and Bloodborne soldiers pour around the corner. More than I could fight in this state, even with the Taker of Hearts at my side. Rain noticed them too, then stumbled to the railing. I looked at his wings, broken and useless, at his injuries, down at the drop below, at the soldiers, then finally at his face. He was bathed in pink gold as the sun crested the horizon, making his eyes gleam like dark rubies. The right side of his face was already starting to blister under the force of the sun. His hair was so red beneath the dawn, redder than I'd ever realized it was, closer to human blood than vampire. An arrow whizzed by his head. As the first soldiers breached the doorway, I grabbed Rain and held him close. "You are so impossibly beautiful," he murmured in my ear. And then I spread my wings and we hurled ourselves over the edge of the balcony.
Part 5. Waxing Moon. Interlude. The cruel truth is that it is harder to survive when you have something to care about. The slave and the queen have little in common. When they talk, it is often about the king, long conversations to help themselves cope with his behavior and moods. Most often, though, they do not talk at all, instead using their meager time together to retrace ugly touches with tender ones, replace pain with pleasure, like plants desperate for water. One cannot underestimate the power of such a thing. It is enough to build a connection that deceptively resembles love. And who is to say it isn't? It feels like love. It tastes like love. It consumes him like love. Perhaps these two people would not have found any reason to be with each other in any other world. But in this one, they became each other's only reason to live. The slave quickly learned that it was far harder to care about something than it was to care about nothing. For the first decades of his imprisonment, he curated his apathy like an art. Now, in a matter of weeks, it shatters. Every strike hurts more because of the way she reacts to it. Every debasement is more shameful because she witnesses it. Every act of violence against her sends him closer to a line he knows he will not be able to return from, no matter how she begs him for restraint. "Who wins?" she asks him, tears in her eyes. "Who wins if he kills you?" So, the years pass, and the slave does not fight. But that kind of hatred never fades. It just festers. For years, for decades. It consumes his heart like a fungus until he can no longer remember a life before it. The king grows more paranoid, more desperate for power, as rumblings of rebellion build in the distance. The Qajari approaches, an open door for all the king's greatest enemies. As the world beyond his walls spirals further from his control, his desire to control the world within them grows more merciless. He requires constant distraction, constant reminders of his own power. The fungus grows. The idea starts as a little knot of rot buried deep within. It spreads so quickly that even the slave cannot tell when it becomes more than a fantasy, only that one day it is no longer a possibility, but an inevitability. The slave starts paying attention to the whispers of the city. He learns of a promising Hyage warrior, a man who makes no secret of his brutal commitment to his brutal intentions. The first trial of the Qajari, the slave is allowed to attend alongside the king. He sits behind the queen and watches her adjust her hair to hide the bruises around her throat. He watches the bloody Colosseum below as the blonde vampire hacks apart his enemies with the same ferocity he would use to hack apart the world and take what he wants from it. He watches the king, and the fear he tries to pretend does not exist. And the slave at last sees an opportunity. The kingdom is already drenched in oil. He is more than willing to provide a match.
Chapter 43. Araya. I had no idea where we were going. It was impossible to fly well with Rain's weight dragging me down, even though he did try, unsuccessfully, to help. But that was probably for the better. We dropped low quickly, hiding between the buildings of Sivrenage while I frantically tried to keep us airborne. I managed to get us to the edge of the human districts before we crashed down on cobblestone streets. Rain, despite his injuries, somehow managed to get up quickly, limping along the walls of crumbling brick buildings. As soon as I got to my feet, I tucked myself under his arm to help support him. I squinted up at the brightening, cloudless sky above. "We need to get you inside," I said. "Fast." I looked around, searching for an empty building to take shelter in, but Rain kept dragging us forward, jaw clenched. "I know where we're going," he said. "Your apartment? You'll never make it. We'll find..." "We're going," he snapped. I was ready to argue with him again, but he shot me a look, stony, determined, that made my mouth close. In these hazy minutes between night and dawn, it was quiet on both sides of Sivrenage, vampire and human. But soon, I knew, we would attract attention in the human districts under a rising sun. We made it a block and a half before I spotted the first set of eyes peering through a bedroom window, hidden hastily when I met them. "People will see you," I muttered. "We have to find somewhere faster."
"No."
The word came between clenched teeth. Rain was moving slower, leaning heavily on the walls and clinging with limited success to the shadows they cast. But he still dragged himself forward.
"We're close. One more block."
"Mother, I didn't know if we would make it that far." It felt like an age later that the building came into view, and I felt his breath of relief at the sight. But by then, dark burns marked his cheekbone on one side, slowly spreading across his face. His steps were so, so slow. I was caving beneath his weight. The sun was rising higher. "You're close," I said quietly. "A little farther." We were so fucking close. And then, mere feet away from the door, he collapsed. I dropped to my knees beside him, dragging him as far into the shade of the buildings as I could. Every inch was difficult. He was heavy, and I was hurt. "Get up," I said, trying and failing to hide how scared I was. "Get up, Rain. We're so close." He grunted and tried to stand. Failed, falling back against the wall. What was I going to do? I couldn't carry him. The sun encroached quickly. I tried to shove him as far into the shade as his hulking body could fit. A door opened and closed. My hands went to my sword. I looked up to see a large, balding man standing over us. He looked familiar, though at first I didn't recognize him. Then it hit me. The man from the apartment building. The one who was always asleep at the desk. My mouth opened, but I didn't know what to say. Whether to snarl at him to stay away, or beg him for help. No disguises today. We were so obviously vampires, so obviously helpless. A million possibilities ran through my mind as to what a human would do when faced with two stranded predators. The man spoke before I could.
"I'm no fucking fool. I know who you are."
He approached, then paused when I visibly flinched away, positioning myself between him and Rain. His eyes were kinder
than I'd expected.
You got nothing to be afraid of. Neither of you.
He nudged past me, knelt down, and grabbed Rain's left arm.
You take the right,
he said. He was helping us. Goddess, he was actually helping us. I did as he said, supporting Rain's right side. Between the two of us, and Rain using the last of his strength to assist us, we got him into the apartment building. The keeper kicked the door shut behind us, yanking the curtains closed with his free hand. The moment the sun was gone, Rain let out a sigh of relief.
Better,
he managed.
Much better.
Shh, I said. I didn't want him wasting his energy on words when there was still a staircase to tackle. But without the sun, he immediately had more strength, mostly able to get himself up the stairs, even if he had to lean on us for support. When we made it into the apartment, he immediately sank onto the bed. The human man stood in the doorway, arms crossed. Rain lifted his gaze to him.
Thank you.
But the man just held up a dismissive hand.
This place has changed. Don't think that people here don't know why.
He glanced between us.
I don't know what happened here, but it's none of my business. Let me just say, I hope that things continue the way they have been, and if getting you up here helps make that happen.
He shrugged and stepped back from the door.
I'm gone for the day, and locking up behind me. If anyone asks, I didn't see a thing.
And with that, he shut the door, leaving Rain and I alone. I glanced at Rain. His throat bobbed. But then he collected himself and turned to me, surveying me up and down. I was holding my abdomen. The wounds that I was in too much of a frenzy to pay attention to before were now far more noticeable. But they wouldn't kill me. Rain stood and hobbled across the room. I jumped to my feet. Where the hell are you going?
Ix's tits, princess, just across the room. I'm fine. Just the sun that was getting me.
That wasn't true. Though at least he could move. That was something. He shot me a bemused look as he opened a desk drawer, rummaging through it.
Sit down and stop glowering at me like that.
Why? He laughed.
Is that really too much of a command?
I sat, reluctantly, as he returned and sat beside me. His breath was heavy and rattled slightly. Blood stained the bedspread already. Mine, his. He undid his coat an extra button. It was now ripped and stained, his hair wild around his face, his sleeves pushed up to his elbows. My once fine dress was torn and soaked in blood. Everything refined about our appearances from earlier tonight had been washed away in bloodshed.
Thank you,
he said softly.
Thank you for coming for me.
My throat was tight. I didn't like when he talked like that. Reminded me too much of the way he thanked me after I'd let him drink from me. Too genuine. Simon talked about you like you were. My lip curled. Like you were nothing. Fuck him. A brief smile ghosted over Rain's lips, a little pained, because we both knew that my distaste for Simon was not the only reason why I had saved Rain. But he didn't push me.
I have something for you,
he said, and held out a small, unassuming package wrapped in plain fabric. I didn't take it.
It's not going to bite you,
he said.
I've owed you a wedding gift for quite some time.
And you think this is the time for gifts? The corner of his mouth tightened.
I think this is the perfect time for gifts.
I wasn't sure why I still hesitated. Like that little twinge in his voice made me think that whatever this was, it was going to hurt. I took the package, laid it in my lap, and unwrapped it. A time-stained notebook and a loose pile of parchment fell free. With a slightly shaky hand, I took the top paper and unfolded it, revealing a scribbled portrait in faded ink. A woman with dark hair, gazing off into the distance, face partially tilted from the viewer. It was old, the ink blotchy, a few drops of water damage blooming on the page. It reminded me of another faded ink drawing, a ruined skyline in a city far away from here. What is this? I asked.
I think,
Rain said softly,
this is your mother.
A part of me already knew it, and still, the words cracked open my chest, releasing a wave of emotion I wasn't prepared for. Vincent had drawn this. It was his hand. I recognized that drawing style. Vincent had drawn her. I set aside the portrait gently. Beneath it was a tarnished silver necklace with a little black stone charm. I held up the necklace and placed the stone next to my hand, next to the ring I wore on my little finger. A perfect match. My chest ached fiercely. I set down the necklace on top of the portrait. The notebook remained in my lap unopened. How? I choked out. I couldn't bring myself to look at him.
Slowly, that's how. The castle held hundreds of years' worth of records and notes. Vincent wrote a lot down, but not much of it made sense.
That sounded right. Vincent had liked to write, but was also paranoid about sharing information. Whatever notes he would have left behind would have been intentionally vague, difficult to understand by anyone other than him.
I took everything that was from around 24 years ago,
Rain went on.
Tackled a little of it every day. Just me. No one else knows.
Mother, the time that must have taken. Combing through all those hundreds or thousands of notes himself? My eyes stung. I picked up another piece of paper. This one was a letter, or an incomplete piece of one. It wasn't Vincent's handwriting, which I knew now by heart. This was messier and softer, the letters upright and looping.
Who?
The word was strangled, so I had to stop and start again. Who was she?
I have more questions than answers to. I think her name was
Elena. My fingers traced the name at the bottom of the letter. And yet I felt its familiarity in my bones, too, from some time before that. Like I was remembering the echo of it being said in a little clay house decades ago. Then my hand drifted to the top of the letter. To Alya, it read. Vartana, Eastern Districts. Goddess help me. A name. A place. Vartana was a small city east of Sivrinage. The letter itself meant little to me, something that looked to be about healing spells and rituals from a magic I didn't understand, but names.
From what I gathered,
Rain said,
she lived in the castle for a while. I don't know how long. At least a year, based on the time differences here.
He tapped the date at the bottom of the ripped-up letter, then the earlier one on the paper beneath it. That one appeared to be a journal entry of some kind, a list of ingredients. Plants. Some I recognized, some I didn't.
I think,
he went on,
she was a magic user. A sorceress.
My brow furrowed. Of which god? Nyaxia? Even when I asked the question, I knew the answer. My mother was human. Some humans could wield Nyaxia's magic, but none of them became especially skilled in it, certainly never more than vampires. Rain gently pulled apart the pages, leaving us at the final parchment.
This one, unlike the others, wasn't a letter or journal entry. It was a page torn from a book. A diagram of moon phases. At the bottom was a small silhouetted symbol, a 10-legged spider.
"That's a symbol of Acacia," he said.
Acacia? The goddess of the unknown and weaver of fates. Realization rolled over me as I thought of what Septimus had said about my father, that he'd searched for the godblood, that he'd used seers to help him do it. Son fucking take me. My eyes snapped to Rain, and he raised his brows in silent confirmation that he'd had the same thought I did. "What did she do for him?" I asked.
"I don't know. I wish I knew. Months of searching, and this is all I have."
He sounded frustrated with himself, embarrassed to be offering me so little. And yet, I felt downright gluttonous with all I'd just been given. I had a name. Goddess, I had a face. I had a million questions and a million possibilities. I picked up the first parchment again, the drawing. My fingertips traced the old ink lines. He drew this. He drew her. Why, Vincent? Did you love her? Did you kidnap her? Both? But I heard no voice in my head. Why would I even be able to conjure a fake version of him that was anything but secretive, when that was all he had ever given me in life? Or maybe his voice had left me, because he knew I didn't want to hear anything he had to say. My eyes stung, my throat tight. My thumb caressed that parchment, back and forth. Rain's presence beside me felt far too close and yet not close enough.
"She looks like you," he murmured.
Something about the way he said that hurt, with such admiration, like there was no greater compliment. I traced the cascade of dark hair over her shoulder, the straight angle of her nose, the eerily familiar, thoughtful, downturned slope of her mouth.
"I wish I could give you more,"
he said softly.
"More than a name. More than a few scraps of paper."
"Why?" I choked out. "Why did you do this?" I knew. In my heart, I already knew. Rain drew in a long breath and loosed it slowly.
"Because you deserve so much more than what this world has given you. And I know I was a part of that. I took away your ability to get those answers. This isn't enough. I know it isn't, but..."
His voice trailed off a little hopelessly, like he was reaching for words but couldn't find any. I couldn't find any either, past the painful gratefulness that swelled in my chest, pulling tight. Yes, Rain was right. He had taken away my ability to look Vincent in the eye and demand answers. But even this, mere scraps of a past, was more than my father had ever given me. It meant something. It meant more than I wished it did. I could feel Rain's stare, even though I kept my gaze dutifully to the bedspread, ashamed of what he might see within it.
"There's something else," he said.
A faint rustling sound as he reached into his pocket. Then he placed a velvet pouch on my lap. It was heavy for its size, a faint metallic jangle ringing from within as it settled. Money. My eyes shot up to meet his. A mistake, because the sadness on his face was so bare, so open that it startled me. "What?" I started.
"Gold," he said. "The material matters more than the currency. Anyone in any of the human nations will take it from you. It's enough to last you. I was going to send more if you ever needed it, but..."
I stood abruptly, pushing the paper and the pouch off my lap and onto the bed. "I don't..."
"Just let me fucking talk, Araya."
Then, more softly,
"Just please. Please let me say this to you.
I wanted to look away from him now, but I couldn't. Those rust-red eyes, glistening a little too much beneath the lantern light, held me captive. At the mouth of the Lituro, near the outskirts of the human districts, a man is waiting for you right now. He has a boat. He'll take you to the trading islands off the coast. There, you can get on a ship going anywhere in the world. My lips parted. It had all been prepared. A man waiting for me? The money, this notebook wrapped and ready, waiting for me. Rain had never intended to make my freedom dependent upon the support of the House of Shadow. He was always going to let me go. I choked out, but he stood, barely wincing at his injuries, unblinking eyes never leaving mine. Go, he breathed. Go somewhere far away. Go to the human nations. Go learn about your magic. I tell you to go become something fucking incredible, Aurea. But you already are. And this place doesn't deserve you. It never has. And I sure as fuck don't. I opened my mouth again, but Rain's words came faster now, stronger, like he was pulling them from somewhere deep within. I never apologized to you the way I should have, because everything you've ever said about me has been right. Because you've always seen the goddess-damned truth, even when I was ashamed of it. What I did to you was... it was unforgivable. He spat the word as if disgusted by himself. His fingertips brushed his chest, right where my blade had once pierced his skin, because I knew exactly where the mark had been. So I won't ask for your forgiveness. I'm not going to stand here and tell you how sorry I am. What fucking good does that do for you? I don't want to ask you for anything. I want to give you what you should have had a long time ago. Because you... The air seemed to have left the room. Left my body, leaving me standing there, frozen, not breathing, not speaking, as he stepped closer. Closer. My chin tipped up to maintain our eye contact. Mother. Those eyes. They looked like fire now, glistening, wet with tears that didn't quite overflow. You are everything, he choked out, voice ragged. Everything. So go, Aurea. Go. My throat was thick. I swallowed past the lump, my jaw tight. All I could think was, fucking fool. If he had the House of Shadow as allies, that would be one thing. But Rain had no allies anymore. Not the Bloodborne, not even the Rishon. He needed the power I could give him more than ever now. It was his only chance at making it back to the throne, and certainly his only chance at keeping it. He needed me more than he ever had. You have nothing but me, I said. And yet, you'd let me go? I have nothing but you, he murmured. So I am letting you go. The words left me dizzy. Like the entire world had shifted in a direction my body didn't know what to do with. Rain was so close to me that I could feel his body heat, a sensation that now felt as familiar to me as my own skin. And I could see the way his jaw worked and muscles strained, as if uniting against a primal force that begged to close the distance between us. How did I recognize that so easily? Why did it feel so familiar? I was silent for a long moment. Then I reached around him, snatched the pouch of coins from the bed, and thrust it against his chest hard enough to make him let out a surprised oof. I can't fucking believe you, I snarled. His face shifted in the beginnings of surprise. Everything has just gotten interesting, I said. And you think I'm just going to run away? When there's a fight to fight? When that piece of shit has my crown? I stepped closer, even though it was dangerous, even though that put us so close that our bodies were nearly aligned, my head tipped up to hold his stare, a sneer over my nose. Fuck you, Rain, I whispered.
Fuck you. He took me in for a long moment, unblinking. And we broke that suspended silence at the same time. I didn't know who moved first. The kiss was like a thunderstorm over the summer desert, a torrent that swept in all at once, obliterating the heat, so all-consuming that suddenly you remember nothing but the rain. All at once, he was everywhere. Chapter 44. Araya. The bag of coins made a distant thump as it fell to the floor, Rain's hands abandoning it for my body. He kissed me like he was starving. Kissed me the way he had fed from me in a cave once, many months ago. Desperate and deep and full of hunger. Like I was the only thing tethering him to the world. And Mother, I felt that way too. Like I was grasping hold of something solid for the first time in so long. Like I had come home. I had told myself I'd forgotten what it was like to kiss Rain. That was a lie. A body doesn't forget a thing like this. It was carved into my muscle memory, a piece of myself that had awakened from some dormant state. He kissed me with not just his mouth, but his whole body. Just like he fought, with every muscle rearranged to the task, centered around me alone. This dress was so fucking thin. The silk let me feel everything. His hands, large and rough, trailing down my body like he wanted to memorize every muscle, drink up every curve. The warmth of him. So close, I could have sworn I felt the throb of his heartbeat beneath his skin. His cock. Goddess, his cock. Hard and thick and straining between us already. Yes, the silk let me feel everything. It let me feel how much Rain had wanted this for so long. It forced me to feel how much I'd wanted it too. Lust pooled low in my stomach, my breasts peaking against the too flimsy fabric of my dress and Rain's hard chest beyond it, the apex of my thighs tightening. My body remembered what it was like to kiss him, yes, but it remembered more than that too. It remembered what it was like to fuck him, like a missing piece replaced. And now, it wanted that. It begged for it. When Rain's hands slid down over the curve of my backside, brushing the sensitive flesh at the top of my inner thighs, my breath hitched. The sound he made in return, barely audible, rolled through me like thunder. The wave of desire made me suddenly dizzy. Desire, though, with a darker edge, sharp and dangerous, forged in the anger I'd held so close for so long. In one abrupt movement, I pushed him down to the bed. He fell against it roughly, the frame squealing in protest against his sudden weight. I started to crawl over him, but a wince flitted across his face, and I hesitated, noticing again the extent of his wounds. Brutal, even if they were already starting to heal now that he was out of the sun. "Don't you dare stop, princess," Rain rasped. Reading my face, the wince giving way to a twisted half-smile. "Please, I don't care if it fucking kills me." His calloused fingertips brushed my cheek, sweeping dangling black hair behind my ear. "Only good thing about the last time it happened was that you were the last thing I saw." His voice still had that lilt to it, light and joking, but the smile had faded. Nothing light about that. Nothing light about his touch, either. All of it was steeped in such agonizing tenderness. It made my chest hurt, made my eyes burn. It made me angry. I wasn't ready for that. Not yet. Not when the remnants of my anger were still so sharp in my veins, the dregs of it tearing at the wounds they'd opened these last few months. He started to sit up, reaching for me, but I pushed him back to the bed. "No," I said. Confusion flitted over his face. "Don't move," I said. "You don't get to control this." The confusion melted into understanding. Even that, at first, was too affectionate, too soft, until he replaced it with a slow smirk curling over his lips. I pressed down on his shoulder again, firmly, in a command to stay put. Then,
I shifted my attention to his clothing. I started at the buttons of his jacket, undoing each knot of silver across his chest. With each one, the blue silk fell away, exposing bare skin, a landscape of swells and dips of muscle, rising and falling heavily beneath his breath, covered with fresh wounds and old scars, and soft, dark hair that narrowed as I worked down his abdomen. I'd hated that costume from the moment I saw it on him. And that's exactly what it was, a costume. Trying to make Rain into one of the people who had once subjugated him. That wasn't who he was. It now seemed so sickeningly obvious. I wondered how I'd ever even questioned it. No, the version of him that I revealed with every opened button, every new expanse of imperfect, once human skin. This was him. I finished with his jacket, and he helped me by lifting his shoulder as I pulled it off of him and tossed it to the floor. I lowered myself over his chest, tracing his muscles with my fingertips, pausing over his nipple as it hardened beneath my touch, then tracing down over each raised ridge of abdomen to his stomach and the darkening trail of hair leading to his trousers. And Rain, ever obedient, did not move, though I could feel his ravenous stare. Not even when my hands fell to his waistband, unbuttoned it, and set him free. The first time I'd seen his cock, I'd been shocked that such a thing could be considered beautiful. And yet this time, too, it was the only word I could think. Beautiful. His entire body tensed when I wrapped my hand around it. It twitched a little against my touch, his abs tightening. I watched the bead of liquid at its head swell. He wanted me. He wanted me so much he wasn't even breathing anymore. His hands tight around the bedspread. And goddess, the ache between my own thighs was getting harder to ignore. So easy to just crawl over him, let him slide inside me. Too easy. There was no such thing as easy pleasure. I wanted him to suffer for this. I lowered, brushing my lips over the tip of him, tongue darting out against the salty sweet of the liquid on his skin. Rain drew in a sharp hiss, his entire body tensed, straining, like it was taking everything he had not to lunge across the bed and grab me. Still, he didn't move. I softened my mouth against him, this time in a slower, longer lick, still gentle enough that I knew it would be torturous. This time, his exhale had a hint of a groan to it. "You're vicious," he murmured. He had lifted his head just enough to watch me, his gaze predatory, like he'd rather die than blink. An intense wave of familiarity passed over me at this, me leaning over him, him watching me, and that look of such barely restrained lust. "Should I make you beg?" I had asked him then. I swept my tongue over him again, slow, and he let out another hitched exhale. "You told me once you would beg for me," I murmured. Another brush of my lips. "So do it." I didn't break eye contact. His sparkled with vicious delight. "Let me touch you," he rasped. And goddess, yes, he was begging, every word desperate. "Let me feel you, even though I don't deserve you. Please." I slowly crawled over his body until my hips were aligned with his. My dress was hiked up, silk pooling at my upper thighs. I knew we were both so agonizingly conscious of how close we were, as I let my hips lower just enough that his length brushed my folds. I bit down hard on my own moan at even that momentary, barely there touch. I wouldn't let him see how much I wanted it. I lowered myself to my elbows, leaving us inches apart. "And?" I said. His gaze glinted with pleasure, like a cat enjoying a game of chase. And yet, beneath that feral delight, something deeper lingered. His fingertips raised to my cheek, not quite brushing it, still obeying. "Let me make you the queen that you are,"
Let me guard your body, your soul, your heart. Let me spend the rest of my fucking pathetic life at your mercy. If I need to die, then let me do it by your hand, please. My chest ached nearly as fiercely as my desire did. My hips shifted, and I felt him twitch again, that tiny movement making my breath tremble. "And?" I whispered. He loosened a shaky exhale, the smirk twisting his lips.
"And for fuck's sake, princess, I'm begging you, let me go to my knees for you."
We lingered like that, our bodies so close to total entwinement and yet not touching at all. And then I whispered, "Fine." The thread of self-control snapped. If Rain's injuries slowed him down, he didn't show it. His mouth crashed against mine, rolling over and pushing me down to the bed, his hand running up my body as if the last minutes of not touching me had been torturous. And then, just as quickly, the weight was gone. Instead, he was off the bed, grabbing my legs and sliding me down. And just as he promised, he went to his knees. I couldn't help but watch him, transfixed, as he gently pushed the silk of my skirt up around my hips, pushing open my thighs. In the presence of gods, he had not looked so reverent. His gaze slowly raised to meet mine.
"Is this acceptable, princess?"
My brow twitched. "Princess?" He laughed, low and rough.
"Queen."
He started at my inner thigh, his kisses so gentle they almost tickled, lifting my leg and placing it over his shoulder.
"My queen," he whispered again.
The words pressed to my skin with each kiss, trailing farther up the sensitive flesh of my inner thighs. Mother help me. My thighs opened, making more room for him, my body conscious of nothing but the anticipation of his touch, his kiss. When it came, right where I wanted it, he was gentle at first, pulling aside my delicate lace underwear and planting soft kisses along my slit. So light, so gentle. And yet the shock of pleasure wrung my body tight, my back arching. He hummed his approval against my skin, the vibration echoing through my core.
"Better," he murmured. "Better than I remember. Better than your blood."
Another touch of his tongue, this one a little firmer, ending it in a long, lingering kiss. I clenched my jaw against the whimper of pleasure, my hands clutching the bedspread. Mother, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction. Not yet, even if it killed me. Another touch, another gasp, another shock of pleasure. Keeping my moans quiet now took Herculean will. My teeth so tight, I distantly thought they might crack. "More." The word was on the tip of my tongue, but I wasn't asking Rain for anything now.
"Let me worship you, Aurea,"
he whispered, and something about the vibration of my name on his lips against the most sensitive parts of me made me shiver. It was wrought with such utter desperation. I had told him to beg. He was begging.
"And let me taste you when you come, please."
His tongue met me firmer now, and a long lick up the length of my slit, swirling around my bud with just the faintest brush of his teeth. Goddess, help me, I couldn't. A strangled moan escaped me, breaking free from my attempts to swallow it. His mouth still to me, Rain met it with a groan of equal strength, like the sound was water to a man dying of thirst.
"Again," he whispered, "please."
And mother help me, I couldn't have denied him, not even if I'd wanted to. Because that sound broke the remaining vestiges of Rain's self-control, and suddenly, his slow, languid work became fierce and desperate. He worked at me like his singular purpose in life was to wring the most pleasure from my body. His mouth, now firm and unrelenting, strokes hard and definitive, moving from my entrance to my clit and back, kissing and suckling. My hips ground against him, chasing his movements. I couldn't help it, couldn't control my own muscles anymore.
"Good," he murmured. "Just like that. Let me help you.
Yes, I thought blindly. Yes, yes, yes. And I didn't realize until his growl of pleasure that I was saying it aloud, over and over again, giving him the answer he had been asking for. Giving him everything he wanted as he gave me everything I needed. My hands had found his head, tangling in red-black waves, unsure whether I was pulling him closer or pushing him away. Closer, I decided, as his tongue worked at my clit in just the right way, as his fingers slid inside me, as his curse of pleasure shot up my spine like a bolt of lightning. I loved his voice. I couldn't even deny how much I loved his voice. That was my last thought before the wave of pleasure consumed me, wiping them all away. When my orgasm faded, I was breathing heavily. A faint sheen of sweat covered my skin. My muscles felt loose and shaky. And yet, when I opened my eyes to see Rain, naked, climbing back onto the bed, desire already stirred again. He looked so damn beautiful. The lantern light playing over the bare panes of his body, marked by time and wounds and scars and a life well lived, flames reflecting in the lustful rust red of his eyes, locked to me as if nothing else existed. Seeing, as always, more than I wished he did. Seeing, as always, me. Suddenly, I felt so wildly exposed, even though he was naked and I was fully clothed. The facade of my games had collapsed. The final heat of my anger had fizzled away like a candle dying in the night. I blinked and felt a tear streak down my cheek. Rain settled beside me. He wiped the tear away with his thumb. "I hate you," I choked out. But the words weren't an admonishment. They were weak, sad, bare. They did not say, "I hate you because you killed my father." They said, "I hate you because I let you hurt me. I hate you because I grieved you. I hate you because I don't." There was no hurt in his eyes, no anger, only gentle, affectionate understanding. I hated when he looked at me like that. Or maybe I hated that, too, the same way I hated him. Not at all. He kissed me on the forehead. "I know, princess," he whispered. "I know you do." His lips moved down to the bridge of my nose. My eyes closed against his kisses, a little damp with my tears. "You have destroyed me," he murmured. "And I have hated every moment of it, too." The truth of those words swelled in my chest, unbearably heavy. He said them in the same voice he'd said our wedding vows. I opened my eyes to find his staring directly into mine. The shades of them, so many disparate colors, coming together to create something of such beauty, stunned me. "Let me kiss you," he whispered. Begging still. "Yes," I whispered. He tasted faintly of my own pleasure, but more distinctly of him. Foreign and familiar, sweet and bitter. This kiss was not like our battle from before. This was an apology, a plea, a greeting, a goodbye. A million words rolled into several endless seconds in which time died between us. "I hate you," I thought, with every new angle, every searching stroke of his tongue, every soft apology of his lips. "I hate you. I hate you. I hate you." And with each kiss, I breathed the words into him, even as I pulled him closer, even as I let his body fall over mine. Rain's mouth trailed down over my jaw, my throat, lingering there for a moment, over two sets of scars, before moving down farther still to my shoulder. Only then did he lift himself up, fingers playing at the strap of my gown.
"Let me see you," he rasped. "Please."
I nodded. He slid the straps from my shoulders. He kissed each new expanse of skin as he peeled back the silk. Over my shoulder, my breasts, my hardened nipples, the curve of my waist, my hip, my upper thigh. And finally he pulled the crumpled silk free and flung it off the bed, gaze already transfixed on me, naked and exposed before him. I wasn't cold, yet goosebumps broke out over my skin. He let out a rough laugh. "What?" I asked. "I just..." His mouth returned to me, lingering at my peaked breasts in a way that made my breath tremble. "I just don't have fucking words," he whispered, as his lips traveled higher, taking a meandering path back to mine. "I don't have words for you." Words were overrated anyway. I was grateful he didn't have any, because the ones that jumbled in my chest were confusing and difficult. "Good," I whispered, and kissed him. Our bodies intertwined again. The length of Rain's cock against my leg made my thighs inch open. His hands over my body grew more frantic, like he wanted to take in all of it at once. Mother, I wanted him. I wanted him as open and exposed and vulnerable as he had made me. A little wordless sound escaped my throat, and Rain's lips curled against my mouth. "What, princess? What do you want?" A genuine offer. Like he wanted nothing more than to give me what I needed. Goddess, so many answers to that question. "I want you inside me. I want you to fuck me until I don't remember my own name. I want to watch you come undone the way you just watched me. I want you." But what came out of my mouth was, "I want your blood."
Chapter 45. Rain. At first, I thought I'd heard her wrong. But no. "I want your blood." Those words coming out of those perfect lips, that had lapped my blood from my thumb weeks ago, those lips that I'd dreamed about ever since, thinking about them with my hand around my own cock with the curtains drawn in the day. My head was foggy. So much about this last day had felt like a dream, but hell, did I mind all that much if this was the hallucination I got? Aurea next to me in bed, naked, the light caressing her flawless moonlight pale skin in a way that made me jealous. Aurea in bed, naked, asking for my blood. I could smell her arousal, thick and sweet, could hear her heartbeat hard and fast like a rabbit's. But even sensing her neediness that I was desperate to fulfill, I still could have spent an eternity just kissing her. Just making love to that poisonous, perfect, beautiful, dangerous mouth. I never thought I'd get to kiss Aurea ever again. Now I couldn't bring myself to question it. I just wanted to take whatever she'd offer me. And in exchange, I'd give her anything, everything she desired. A faint flush rose to Aurea's cheeks. I wondered if she knew that she blushed, and easily. I didn't want to tell her because I didn't want her to stop. "You want my blood," I repeated. And still, she didn't so much as blink as she said, "Yes." "Son, take me." Yes, Aurea wanted my blood, all right. She'd wanted it for months. And I was damned lucky that this was how I got to give it to her. I rolled over and grabbed her dagger from her pile of clothes. "No poison in this thing, right?" I said. She shook her head. "Good. That would have been an embarrassing way to go." I drew the tip along the side of my neck, just hard enough to break the skin with a fleeting stab of pain. Immediately, the warmth of blood bubbled to the surface, trickling down my throat. I sheathed the dagger and tossed it aside again, turning back to Aurea. "You have it, princess," I said. "My blood. As much of it as you want. Yours by right, after all. Because I'd already promised it to her months ago. I give you my body, my blood, my soul, my heart. And from the moment her tongue had touched my skin that night, the moment the words left my lips, I knew that I meant them. They were true, even if she didn't want them to be, even if she didn't return it. I was hers. Araya's stare was hard and steady, those moon-bright eyes spearing me more sharply than any blade. Her throat bobbed. Her gaze lingered on my throat, on the streaks of red-black blood. The scent of her arousal, her hunger, thickened in the air. My cock twitched in response to it. "Sit up," she said. My brow quirked. I did as she ordered. She swung her legs over mine, straddling me. My hands fell to her hips, the closeness of her, her scent, her warmth, so much stronger than a vampire's, left me momentarily dazed. Immediately, I knew what this was. A recreation of that night in the cave. Goddess fucking help me. I was destroyed. I was done. For a moment, she stared at me, the two of us meeting each other's gazes unblinking. A knot tightened in my chest. I recognized that look. Fear mixed with hunger. Fear of herself and her own desires. My thumb traced a circle on the bare skin of her hip. "You're safe, Araya," I whispered. "All right." Her eyes narrowed at me a little, as if calling out my bullshit. And though I hadn't meant to lie to her, now or ever again, I understood it. Because nothing about this was safe. Araya and I and this monstrous, beautiful, terrible thing we'd created between us was so fucking far from safe. She leaned forward, pressing her breasts to my chest, hands braced against my arms, and brought her lips to my throat. First, she licked up what had dripped down my neck, starting at my clavicle and traveling up, ending with a little twinge of pain as her mouth pressed to the open wound. And then she drank. My breath was a little shaky, my fingers tightening into her flesh, my muscles tensed. No one had ever fed from me since Neculi, or Simon and the other nobles he had loaned me out to. I'd never, ever allowed it since then, not even with consensual lovers long after. My skin didn't scar as easily as Araya's did. Those fangs didn't leave any marks on my throat. But centuries later, I still felt them. I'd never let anyone open those wounds ever again. My body remembered that, tensing in anticipation, even if my mind knew differently. But from the moment her mouth touched my skin, I knew right away it was different with her. I thought she would make me remember, even briefly, those old wounds. Instead, every stroke of her tongue repainted them with something new. This wasn't Neculi or Simon or any other of the countless unwanted invasions to my body. This was her. Araya, my wife. It was almost funny at first how tentative she was. Her tongue lapped awkwardly against the wound like a kitten at milk, like she didn't quite know how to drink. Still, my flesh seemed to open for her, as if I was intrinsically made to give her this. "You don't have to be gentle." I couldn't help it. A hint of amusement slipped into my voice. "You won't hurt me." All right, maybe the weight of her body against my wounds did hurt a little, but I wasn't going to complain about those breasts against my chest. She pushed deeper against my throat, taking my advice to heart. With a long, rough inhale, she drew in a mouthful of my blood and swallowed. Her exhale was a groan against my flesh. "Fuck," I echoed it. I hadn't known if Araya had venom. I would have thought she didn't without the fangs. But this did something to me. Something very different than what the venom of other vampires had, drugging me in sickening ways. I didn't know if it was venom or her tongue or just the intoxication of having her naked body straddling mine. Suddenly, nothing in this world mattered except for her. Her mouth and the scent of her desire thickening with every passing second. Her tongue rolled against my throat again with a tiny sound of pleasure I didn't think she realized she had made. My head dipped back, giving her better access. Her body had melted against mine, her back arched, thighs opening. I was so hard it was physically painful. The only thing I was conscious of, other than her mouth and her exhales of pleasure, was the fact that her slit was so fucking close to my cock. It would take barely a tilt of her hips to lower herself onto me. She was drinking so fast that she choked a little, pulling away with a tiny spatter of coughs. I tilted my head just enough to look at her, and the pure lust on her face, eyes heavy-lidded, lips swollen and parted, a trickle of red-black smeared at the corner, left me vaguely dizzy. "Good," I murmured. Instead of answering, she kissed me. My blood tasted salty and iron-strong, different than hers had, not nearly as good, but better for the fact that I was lapping it off her tongue. The kiss was demanding, not waiting for breath, her tongue slipping into my mouth as she forced my head back. Her hips lowered, her sex ground against my length in one long roll, making my fingernails dig into her skin, a low, wordless sound rolling from my throat. "So you have my blood," I murmured. "What else do you want, princess?" Another roll of her hips answered my question. Fuck. I had never known what it was to need someone before I met her. I had always thought that kind of talk was silly and overdramatic. No. I needed Aurea, needed her like another bodily function. I knew what she wanted. She knew what she wanted. But I knew she couldn't bring herself to say it aloud. The final vestiges of our game, shaky gates still in place between us. So she whispered against another desire-drunk kiss. "Beg." It was so damned easy to beg for her. I pushed down on her hips just enough so that my tip sat at the slick of her, so sensitive that I felt it tighten at the presence of my cock. "Let me in," I rasped. "Let me inside you. Let me feel you come around me. Let me watch you. Please." She let out a strangled sigh, pressed her mouth against mine, and lowered herself onto me. When I disappeared into her wet warmth, everything else fell away. Immediately a sound tore from her throat, a mangled moan, and goddess, it was the most incredible sound I'd ever heard. I thought I'd made myself forget it, put it out of my mind forever. Stupid of me to even try. And hell, why would I want to? I wanted to drown myself in her sounds, her breath, her body. Her blood. She moaned again as she lifted herself off me, lowering again, again, hips rolling, helping me hit where she wanted me. Goddess, I loved it. Loved the way she used me. My body still hurt, uncooperative in letting me take her the way I wanted to, but she was more than willing to take what she needed. My hands trailed her body, memorizing the shape of every muscle, every expanse of skin, from the taut shape of her waist to the full softness of her ass. I kissed her, hard, swallowing all those breathtaking sounds, offering her all of my own. Our pace was frantic now. Neither of us had patience for this. I wanted everything, and I wanted it now. With every time she took me inside her, grinding against me, allowing me to reach the deepest parts of her, I only wanted more. I wanted to brand her. I wanted her to brand me. My hunger for her was suddenly insatiable, driven to a frenzy by the sensation of her sex around me, the scent of her desire, the taste of my own blood on her lips, and the tantalizing scent of hers beneath that sweat-slicked skin. She broke our kiss, gasping a curse against my lips as I drew her down against me roughly in one particularly deep thrust, her body spasming. And fuck, I almost lost it right there.
"Rain,"
she whimpered. "Take it," I rasped out, knowing somehow exactly what she wanted. "All of it. It's all yours." She let out a fractured sound between a sob and a sigh of relief and lowered her mouth to my throat again, drinking deep as she rocked around me. When she pulled away again, blood smearing her lips, I chased her, desperate to taste her again however I could. But instead, she lifted her chin, exposing the elegant column of her throat. I paused, a sudden absence of movement that made her tighten around me in protest. She couldn't be offering. Couldn't be asking me to. "Take it," she said, throwing my words back at me. My jaw closed, tightened. It was almost enough to cut through my haze of lust. I knew what this meant for her. Knew, too, that the chemical draw of my blood and our sex and everything else between us was probably just as addling to her as it was to me. I didn't want to be something else, she regretted. "Are you sure?" I barely managed to form the words. She lowered her chin just enough to meet my eyes. What I saw within them stripped me bare, far deeper than the lust. "Yes," she whispered. No hesitation. I didn't even have the words to give her after that, just this animalistic growl that came out in a mangled burst as I pulled her closer. Her hips resumed their rhythm, drowning us both in a sea of pleasure that couldn't be matched except for when my mouth came to her throat. Her skin there was delicate, smooth, save for the little scars. Too old, too newer. Just as I had once before I kissed both of them, tenderly, offering some softness before I let the sharpness of my teeth settle over her vein. I could practically taste the beat of her blood beneath, hot and sweet. My bite was quick, firm, piercing the skin in a single painless strike before withdrawing. She drew in a little gasp, her hands clutching my shoulders, walls tightening around me. Her blood flooded my mouth, thick and rich. Nothing had ever tasted like this. Like her, at the rawest essence, every nuance and contradiction. From the first moment I had tasted it, I had known it would change me forever. Better than any wine, any drug, a pleasure I'd be chasing for the rest of my life. Maybe it was the sensory overload of the sex, or maybe the venom just worked particularly quickly, because I scented the sudden spike in Araya's arousal rising to an unbearable crescendo. A moan vibrated through her, and I could taste that sound with my next swallow, with every stroke of my tongue worked across her skin. Her pace grew faster now, harder. My fingernails dug into her, leveraging whatever remained of my strength to help her through each thrust. "Don't stop," she begged, the words fractured by ragged breaths. And thank the fucking goddess she said it, because I couldn't. I was fucking gone. It was too much. Everything culminated. Pressure built at the base of my spine. I could feel her getting close too, her muscles coiling, her strokes growing frantic, and her fingernails dragging deep over my back and shoulders. I needed to feel her come even more than I needed it myself. I wanted to give her everything. I tore myself away from her throat, the taste of her blood still thick on my tongue. For one endless moment, her eyes met mine, and so much honesty passed between us, both of us exposed with only our flesh and our desires and our primal impulses. "Yours," I ground out. "It's yours. My blood, my body, my soul. I had given her all of that a long time ago. I even had given her my life, and I'd do it all again." I urged her head down as our bodies writhed around each other, rushing to the end. She accepted eagerly, her mouth falling to my throat again, drawing in a deep mouthful of my blood. I felt her swallow, and then a moment later felt her climax take her. A desperate cry, one she didn't even try to stifle, rang out against my skin, long, whimpering, holding fragments of torn-up curses and pleas.
"Rain,"
she choked out, like she was hurtling through oblivion and desperate for someone to anchor her. I knew that, because I felt it too. "I know," I wanted to say, but my own orgasm stole the words, my cock buried deep inside her, muscles seizing. She was shaking, whimpering as her body tensed through wave after wave of aftershock. I held her and filled her, nestling my face into the space between her throat and shoulder as we both relinquished ourselves. For a few incredible seconds, everything disappeared in a hazy, soft mist of her. When the world returned, it all felt different. I'd had plenty of sex before, some bad, some good, much of it ill-advised. But this didn't feel like sex. It felt like a religious ritual, like finding faith. Aurea had collapsed against me. A sudden wave of exhaustion hit me, and with it, a fresh awareness of the pain of my wounds, which I'd strained something fierce in all the activity. Not that I